Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome once again to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us. Hope you're doing well. We are here in the midst of, in the early part of 2020. It's late January, might be early February when you hear this. And, of course, the sports that we have right now, we're looking at the Super Bowl. We're very close to that. And we're also talking about basketball. If you're a high school basketball fan, you might be getting ready for your tournament. Or if you're a college fan, we're not too far away from the NCAA. But one of the things that I love, is baseball. And baseball is usually something that has kind of a slow start because you have spring training. And I don't know of any other sport where they concentrate on the beginning of a sport like they do in baseball. I know football has its summer camps that open up in the middle of summer, and I guess other basketball, but you really don't pay attention unless you're in baseball to spring training. Spring training games in Arizona and Florida, many of them are sold out. Many of them you can't get tickets. But baseball is very strong in the spring. And we have with us today a guy who is last year was a coach. He was a coach for the Indianapolis Indians. He was their hitting coach. He's in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. And as we record this, he's not quite sure what his future will be. He and his wife are trying to decide whether or not they want to continue on in the baseball ranks. You know, it's very hard to be a coach, very hard to be in baseball because it takes so much time and is such a long season. Baseball, if you're into baseball, if you're a coach or you're a player, you start out in mid-February, and if you're in the playoffs of the World Series, you go to the end of October. So it's a long season and really kind of hard on the family. So our guest today is John Schwind, and as we said, he is was a coach last year for the Indianapolis Indians and trying to decide exactly what his future will be. The Pirates have offered him a job, and maybe by the time that we get this out on the air and get this on our website, maybe he'll be with the Pirates organization. They like him. It just depends on whether or not this is what he wants to do. But one of the things that will not change about John Schwind, when I talked to my friend Ron Bruner, who is the chaplain for the Indianapolis Indians, he said, you got to talk to John if you want to talk to someone who has a tremendous faith, because he's right there. He's got a tremendous faith. And, of course, whether or not you are pursuing your baseball career, no matter what you're doing, your faith really does not change. And that's very true of John. So we wanted you to hear this story from John Schwind, the former hitting coach for the Indianapolis Indians in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. We'll take a break and be back. You are listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us today. And our guest today is John Schwind, who is the assistant hitting coach for the Indianapolis Indians in the Pirates, Pittsburgh Pirates organization. John, thanks for being on Face to Face.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Appreciate it.
Tell me a little bit about what you do here with the Indianapolis Indians. What's your job?
So I have a variety of roles. I got hired as an assistant hitting coach, so I'm working with hitters constantly with that, and our hitting coach and our staff. And then also I coach third base, help run our outfield, just a variety of different things to help these guys get to the top level that they want to get to and hopefully get to their goal of reaching the major leagues.
When you get to this level, when you get guys who get to this level, they pretty well know what they're doing. They're a step away from the majors. A lot of guys have been in the majors. What can you tell them as a hitting coach? What sometimes do you see that can change their style or can get them over the hump?
Sometimes it's different for each individual, obviously, and you know, with a young group here, sometimes it's just about developing an approach and understanding, you know, what makes them good and being able to swing at pitches that they're capable of hitting well. So simple things such as that and training that on a daily basis to more mechanical things and helping people understand the body and how it moves and you know, making subtle adjustments and how that can actually factor into making the game a little more simple.
Let's talk about your role as a third base coach. That's very key because that's whether or not you score runs or not. What else do you do in the third base coaching box?
Something that, you know, it's obviously you hope that players don't need to use the third base coach as much, and you train them to be able to, you know, make reads on their own. But it's obviously to put our team in a position to score more runs and give us a chance to win games. So just trying to get guys to run hard and then them to be able to rely on me and trust me when I have to make a decision that they can't. So it's about constant reminders, constant teaching when something maybe doesn't go the way you want it. And hopefully, you know, if we're able to do that consistently, you know, at the end of this year, come September right now, or close to September, we're playing our best baseball and running the best we have on the bases the whole year.
The Indians are part of the Pirates organization. You've been in the Pirates organization from the beginning. That's kind of unusual. Sometimes you move around different organizations. And you were drafted pretty low, 41st round in the 2011 draft. I saw somewhere where you said that round doesn't even exist anymore. Do you feel like God's been with you to get you to this point in your career?
Absolutely. You're right. It's not a round that exists anymore, but God willing, that was where I was supposed to go. And, you know, at the time, I'm happy that I didn't really understand, you know, the magnitude of being drafted that late. You know, I thought, okay, I got drafted. I'm going to have a chance. And it kind of gave me that encouragement and that understanding. I'm just going to trust God's plan and be able to take it step by step and level by level and live each day at a time. And I feel like I did that while I was playing. You know, there weren't situations that obviously went my way in terms of injuries, but I don't regret any of that because I learned so much more probably when I was hurt and rehabbing than I would have actually playing. And I don't mean that just in the game of baseball. I mean that in my life with my wife, my relationships, you know, with my family, and most importantly, my relationship with God.
And one of the things that you talk about relationships, the relationships coming up through the minors are really important. And one of your relationships is with a guy named Josh Bell, who you got to be happy for. He's at the top of his game with the Pirates. Tell me about your relationship with Josh Bell.
It's just, it was a blessing, you know. I think for both of us, when we met each other, you know, at the time, we got drafted the same time and you know, didn't necessarily form a close friendship right away. You know, he was a much higher pick and, you know, we weren't really sure what levels we were going to start at. And then we ended up getting hurt around the same time during our first full season and really just developed our relationship from there. And, you know, we learned a lot from each other and I had a little bit more life experience. And he had a different, you know, lifestyle growing up, and both of us were able to learn a lot from each other. So, you know, we shared not only, you know, learnings of baseball and just general friendship things, you know, playing video games, going to movies, all sorts of things, but we shared a lot about our faith and questions that we had that we didn't necessarily know. And that the one thing I think that, you know, we gravitated towards each other a lot is we both work very hard and we're really geared towards if we don't know something or we're not producing in an area we want to, whether it's baseball or life, we're going to work hard to make sure that we get to where we want to be. And I think we both had that together and we're able to kind of encourage each other along the way. And, you know, before you knew it, we had lived together for 4 or 5 years and really just developed a strong relationship and someone that I have 3 older brothers, but he's a brother to me.
And I know you guys are with a lot of different teams in the Pirates organization. Tell me some of the teams that you guys played on and what's life like in the low minor league system or in the minor league system as you're coming up. What's that like to have a good friend like Josh?
Yeah, we played in 2012. So we played in 2012 in West Virginia, in Charleston, 13 in West Virginia and Charleston, 14 in Bradenton, 15 in Altoona. And then that year was kind of when we split paths a little bit in terms of he started moving up and I kind of got stuck, you know, with injuries and a variety of different things. But yeah, the minor leagues are, I think they're all how you make it. You know, it's a matter of perspective. It's a lot of people are going to knock them and, you know, say that it's, you know, such a grind and there's a lot of negatives and it's not ideal. And yeah, there are some things that aren't glamorous, but I really do feel it's about perspective. And we both got caught in times where I'm sure we were very critical and negative, but the encouragement and our trust in the Lord definitely got us through that. And not only made our relationship stronger with God, but our relationship together got a lot stronger. And we knew that our honesty, you know, was going to help us in the long run.
Yeah, talk about getting stalled a little bit. You are not stalled so much by what you couldn't do, but by injuries. It seemed like every time that you would get to a place to where things were going well, you got hurt. Tell me a little bit about some of the injuries that you had, including the one that really was really hard, the ruptured spleen.
Yep. So we that was a main focus of my career was rehabbing. And which is funny because I really didn't get hurt much in high school or college. I never had really major injuries. Which, you know, maybe that was a sign that it was coming, but 2012, I had my first one. I broke my arm. I got hit by a pitch. Pretty much rehabbed the whole summer and then got back last 2 weeks. I ended up breaking my thumb, like, right when I got back. I got hit by another pitch. So that year was kind of a wash. 13, I got through the year. 14, I was having a good season in high A. Right around July 4th, I broke my hamate, which is in my hand, a bone in my hand. So I rehabbed that the rest of the year. 2015, I came in healthy, went double A first time, and I ruptured my spleen the second week of the season in a collision down the left field line. And that kind of, you know, that more steamrolled a lot of the problems I had later on. I ended up 16, I got through the year healthy. 15 was pretty much a wash. I maybe got back with, you know, a couple weeks left, and I shouldn't have. It was more of I had determined in my own head that I was going to get back no matter what, but I was weak. I was not strong. I had lost a liter and a half of blood, and really they had cut through my abdomen. So I just wasn't where I wanted to be. You know, I did. I got through the year and then took that year. Probably should have trained a little smarter that off season. 16, I got through the year, like I said. And then 17, I had a lot of issues. I had tore my internal oblique, tore my external oblique. Yeah, and then grade three, so they were, I pretty much tore the muscle in half. And then I got back, and a week later I tore another intercostal muscle in my stomach, all on the same side as the spleen, all where I had a lot of issues prior and a lot of scar tissue. So, that injury was tough, and, you know, it still affects some things day-to-day with me that not only, you know, with medication and vaccinations and stuff like that, but, you know, just the body doesn't feel the way it should. And again, that's something that I know I can correct over time, but it's not something I regret because I learned a whole bunch during that time. I learned a lot. I got to support a lot of people in their dream and learn the game a lot better. And I think it's probably a reason that I'm down this avenue and path that I am right now with coaching.
Well, I think the Pirates have liked you from the beginning. You came out of Marist College, and you played six different positions, I read, in Marist College, and the Pirates draft you, and then they want you to be a catcher. You've never been a catcher. How was that?
Yeah, Marist was coming out of high school, that was kind of my I guess, you know, background was I really never had played a position. I played a whole bunch. I was really athletic. I was really raw. So they played me all over the place. And then, you know, when I got to the draft, you know, I didn't have a great junior year. I was supposed to go a little bit higher, and I didn't have a great junior year. So, you know, the chance I had was, you know, would you want to catch? And I said, sure. I was told I was going to catch, and I was going to play everywhere else and kind of be a super utility guy. And the moment I got down there, I didn't have catcher's gear. I didn't have anything. They gave me some gear, and pretty much that was it for that first 2.5 years I was only catching.
John Schwind is our guest. He's the third base coach for the Indianapolis Indians. He's in the Pirates organization as an assistant hitting coach. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the personal life of John. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. It's a joy to be with John Schwind. We're in the dugout in the Indianapolis Indians. And, John, let's go back to talking about Josh Bell. You had an incredible moment this year, your friendship with Josh. He's hitting a lot of home runs. He was in the home run derby in the Cleveland, in the All-Star game in Cleveland, and he asked you to be the pitcher. What did that mean to you?
It was just I was more overjoyed with that he had a chance to go there. It's something he had talked about in his career, especially in the minor leagues, that, you know, maybe this was a possibility down the road, and something I know that he's worked incredibly hard for, not just to, you know, get the home run derby, but to make the All-Star game and to start. So I was just super excited to be able to share the experience with him, and more, you know, thrilled and humbled that he actually wanted to include my family and my wife and allow us to kind of see the festivities with him.
Were you a little nervous going out on the mound? I mean, I guess that was your first foray into walking onto a major league diamond, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I was nervous. A lot of people have asked me that. I don't feel like I was nervous. I know my heart rate definitely went up when I got on the mound a little bit. And I think we had talked about that, but I really just tried to keep my focus on helping him. And I feel like if I did that, then it would kind of get the jitters out of myself and what I was feeling. Because ultimately I was there to help him and help him accomplish the goal. And, you know, we didn't get as far as obviously we wanted, but, you know, he still put on a show, and he did a really good job. He hit 18 home runs. It wasn't a poor round by any means. It was just, it was a incredible home run derby, and I think one that will go in history, and I'm sure years down the road we're gonna be able to say, wow, we were part of something that was really special.
Like Guerrero hit 91 or something like that, some incredible amount.
Absolutely, it's crazy.
You came out of Western New York, and tell me a little bit about what life was like growing up, what your family was like.
Yeah, I grew up in a simple family. I had, you know, my mom and my dad, and then three older brothers, so a family of five boys and my mom. My parents are pretty traditional and a little bit more old-fashioned in terms of certain things. You know, they had four boys that all played sports. You know, we all played soccer, hockey, and baseball. And so, you know, there wasn't a lot of downtime. There was usually one parent taking one of my brothers somewhere, and I was getting taken to another rink or field. Or you know, we didn't have cable television. I didn't have a cell phone really until I was pretty much in, I think, middle college. I'm super grateful that it was like that. You know, we grew up faith as a big part of our life, and going to church every Sunday. And I think my parents kind of allowed us to experiment and understand that ourselves. I still remember one of my favorite, you know, memories as a kid was, you know, not only going with my family, but I would go sometimes by myself at 8. I feel like that's really where I started to learn more about the Lord and ask questions and, you know, just to start to understand that this path is not something that, you know, I'm responsible for. Something else is actually creating this. So,
yeah, I was going to ask you, I know that faith is a big part of your life. I know Jesus Christ is a huge part, if not the center, probably the center of your life. Tell me a little bit about what it means to be in this position that you're in and have Jesus Christ at the center of your life.
Yeah, my goal is to love God and love people, and that's what I'm trying to do every single day. And I think that purpose, you know, sometimes can get sideways, and you know, my goal every day when I reflect and I pray is to make sure that that is the center, and if it's not, then, you know, I need to readdress some stuff and hopefully get it to that. So, you know, where I'm at right now, I don't think it's necessarily my responsibility to know where I'm going to be tomorrow or in a year. Obviously, I have micro goals, and my wife and I have different goals of our marriage and our life. But I think my responsibility more is to wake up every day and do the absolute best that I can in what God is providing me that day. And, you know, if I'm able to do that and have that mentality and shape that around loving other people, you know, then I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be. So I think I'm very thrilled. And I'm just very, very fortunate that I'm able to still be a part of baseball and part of this game. And it's something that hopefully I can continue in my life. But I'm gonna trust God's plan wherever that may be, you know. And hopefully my faith gets deepened and strengthened because of it.
You bring a lot to a clubhouse. Pardon me. You bring a lot to a clubhouse. In fact, it's been written that you bring a calming presence, a mentorship, and a familiarity outside the lines. I think the media relations guy wrote that here. Shane, tell me what that means to you. It seems like you are kind of a calming presence. And, of course, in this game of baseball, it can be very, very emotional. Tell me about what you think that means.
That's it's an honor to, for, you know, if it's so teammates or, you know, people that I'm coaching to say that. But I think that's been such a learning thing over a long period of time. I know that that's not how I was in college. And, you know, I had a much different perspective. And I think perspective is obviously changed by life experiences and your faith and, you know, understanding the mystery of a lot of different things. And so I've had so many injuries and different things of adversity that, you know, adversity, like anybody would say, is something that definitely isn't going the way you want it to go. But again, there's a lot of different levels of that. And so I think I've been able to experience a variety of levels. And I'm sure in my life I'm going to experience even more. And that's given me a little bit better understanding of how to react and how to view things and how to maintain the positivity that you have and just be a light in the room. Because it's not something that you always want to do, but it's something that is always needed. So that's where I'm trying to go with this.
And I think that's really true on a situation like this. When you're at this particular level, and I know this has been maybe even a little different year for the Indians this year, there's a lot of guys going through here. It's like a train station. You get guys going up, you get guys going down, you get guys get traded, guys at the minor league level. It's not exactly like a major league team where maybe you got a little bit more stability. Do you feel like that there's a lot of instances where just small moments, small times can make a difference in the life of the people that you come in contact with?
Absolutely. Sometimes a conversation that lasts 10 seconds could be the difference in someone's day. And it's, you don't always know what it is. And that's why you're always trying to be someone that is approachable and somebody that somebody can come up to and talk to you about anything because they trust you and they know you're going to give them honesty. It's not always, you know, what they need, you know, what they want to hear. It's that saying of what they need to hear sometimes. Are people perfect at this? Am I perfect at this? Absolutely not. But those conversations happen all the time. And if you can, you know, constantly try and demonstrate that, you know, on a daily basis and be encouraged to. And I know my wife is so transparent with me and you know, lays it out there when she doesn't agree with something. And that's sometimes what I need, you know, and I might not, you know, understand it at the time, but I know it's teaching me something and adding value to me to go out and love other people the same way.
Wives have a way of doing that. John Schwinn, thanks for being with us. I really appreciate it. I was going to ask you, growing up in New York, did you have a favorite team and a favorite player maybe growing up?
Yeah, it's kind of surprised a lot of people from Rochester. Most people would say, you know, the Yankees or the, you know, the Orioles or the Twins now or the AAA affiliate. But I was a White Sox fan growing up.
Really?
One of my brothers, I kind of followed a lot of the teams he liked. He liked the White Sox, so I rooted for them. I watched them a lot growing up. That was my birthday gift usually every year. I would get a pass for MLB TV and be able to watch them online. but I liked Frank Thomas growing up, Maglio Ordóñez, but favorite player. Wasn't a fan of the Yankees, but I loved Derek Jeter, and still probably will always be my favorite player.
Let's wrap it up this way, and I haven't briefed you on this, but do you have a favorite verse? Do you have something that means a lot to you?
I like Luke 1:37. It's for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I write that on every hat. It's not on my practice hat right now, but it's on all my game hats. You know, and I constantly remind myself of that every day because, you know, sometimes the doubt of something that maybe you want to happen or something that maybe needs to happen, it's not always present, and I need to keep that in my mindset a lot. There's a lot of different verses in Scripture that are obviously our stuff that, you know, words that we reflect on and go back to, but that's something that I've had in my hat for a long time and something that I know I'll use. It's on my keychain too. My wife got me a keychain for Christmas last year, so I have that on my keychain as well.
That's good. John Schwinn has been our guest. John, thanks again for being a part of Face to Face, and be interesting to stay in touch and see what happens to you in the future.
Absolutely, Tom. Thanks for having me.
All right. John Schwinn, the third base coach and the assistant hitting coach for the Indianapolis Indians. We will take a break and be back, so don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us, and hope you enjoyed our time with John Schwinn. We certainly enjoy talking to guys like that. I had the opportunity many years to sit in dugouts and hold the microphone in front of baseball players, and I think that's the most enjoyable part of my job. I've, of course, talked to many people in many different sports over the years, but I love baseball most of all. There's just something about the ambiance, even going into an empty baseball stadium or sitting down with a player or a coach maybe 3 hours before the game actually starts. There's just something relaxing to me about baseball, and John Schwinn certainly fits into that category. But there's Christian athletes certainly in other sports. I just read recently about the testimony of Raheem Mostert. Now, that's a name that might not be familiar to you unless you've been watching the National Football League Championship with the San Francisco 49ers. Mostert set an NFL record by rushing for 260 yards in a playoff game. That's the most that any NFL player has ever done in a playoff game. And he is a tremendous story of perseverance because he was cut 7 times in a 4-year span before he got to the 49ers and was able to do what he did. And his testimony comes through loud and clear. He just said when it was all done, when he'd had that tremendous day, I guess it was an afternoon game against the Packers, he said, I just want to thank God for the opportunities that he's given me. And on his website is the 23rd Psalm. So you know that he is a, you know that he's a believer, and it's great to hear him give credit to God. There's just so many athletes out there who have Jesus Christ in their life. And that's why we do this. That's why we have our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. Let us know what you think. There's a plug up there where you can give us comments and let us know exactly what you think about face-to-face or about the interviews that we have done. Well, as we close today, I want to take you to a passage in 1 Peter 3:4, and here's what it said. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. No matter who you are, God loves you, and God wants you to know that when he's working in your life, when you have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in your life, it's something to behold, and you can accomplish so many things. So again, it should be that your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.